I'm Dwayne Feenstra, the GM of the Flight Risk Podcast, an AU Old Republic Star Wars actual play, and you're listening to Redemption.
This is Redemption, an actual play podcast set in the Star Wars role-playing game system, with Chris Berlew as the GM, and also the droids 11D4 and R3A1.
Hey, you don't have a drink. Would you like one?
Kaylee Jung is the Twi'lek Jedi Knight, Karel.
Sometimes I guess loving people just isn't enough.
And Michael Waldschlager II as the Duros pilot, Tazi.
There are just more important things than us.
Episode 601, The Long Goodbye. Having delivered both the mask and the youngling back to the Jedi Temple, the crew go about their tasks, not knowing that Isla and Nisinda have left the ship for the last time. Tazi, Karel, and the droids suddenly find themselves as a much smaller crew and are left wondering what happened. A1 has some answers, but that information will cause more damage than the uncertainty ever could.
The camera follows Karel as she walks up the ramp into the ship.
Hey, Karel, do we have time to get refueled while we're here?
Yeah, Tazi. We don't even have a next place to go yet, so I'd say unless something else horrible and time-sensitive happens, we're probably here for a couple days.
Okay, great. I'll get everything squared away then. And Tazi, comes up back, kind of meets you coming up the ramp from the cockpit. He starts walking back that way.
Karel's, visibly, not happy. But she's not, crying or anything. She's just, you can tell that something's weighing on her.
Hey, you know, it wasn't your fault with the kid. He's just a kid.
I know, but I still feel like I could have handled it better. But I mean,
at the end of the day, he's here. He's at the temple. You know, they'll help. They'll either work out what his issues are or they'll send him to the Explorer Corps. So,
yeah, I logically, I understand that. I feel a little bit like I failed him.
No, I don't think you failed him. I think you just made him think about things he didn't want to think about. And that's just how kids are. The kids get mad. Kids get angry. You know, give it a day or two, he'll probably get over it.
I don't think this is the sort of thing you just get over. But, yeah, I hope that
He could harbor deep feelings of resentment for years of his life. I mean, I'm saying, you know, let's just...
Okay.
You could think of... Let's just consider the...
of that.
Let's consider this on a positive note. And, you know, we got the kid to where he needed to go. He's with people that can take care of him. They're with people that can do right by him, right? I mean, he's in a good place. Yeah. We've put him in a good place.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a win.
I'm reassured. You can stop reassuring me now.
I forget, did we get paid for this? No, we didn't get paid for this, did we?
Well, we'll get... Sort of. You know, we get paid for the stuff we do, and...
We delivered a youngling to the temple,
TC,
so...
TC-27, where are you?
I think he's still locked in the cargo bay.
No, we let him out of there.
Did we?
I don't know. I go unlock the cargo bay.
He's not in there.
No, he's not in there.
TC? And Tazi will lean over and, hit the comm on the wall. TC, meet us in the hallway by the cockpit. The main hallway.
You hear a little metal footsteps.
Is this the foyer? Is this the foyer of the ship? The foyer?
Sure, this can be called a foyer.
Okay.
It's kind of the loading dock.
And you know, Tazi's not really paying attention, so he leans back over the comm. Yes, TC, please meet us in the foyer.
You hear little metal footsteps as he comes out of the kitchen area.
Yes. How may I be of service?
Did the ship incur a profit on this particular trip? Did we get paid for this?
Or, more importantly, was our debt reduced off this trip?
Yes, and I am just going over that now, Captain, if you will please escort me.
Where am I escorting you to?
Well, first we will start in the kitchen area, and then we will move to other areas of the ship, discussing what I have found.
Well, I'll be in engineering if you guys need anything.
Let's go to the kitchen. I think I'll need some calf. Maybe something stronger.
And follow him into the kitchen.
Tazi follows him into the kitchen.
Where he has all the cabinets open.
As you can see, Captain, I have organized all the food in here based on nutritional value, cost efficiency, and age.
And I would say that at this point there is probably a fade as Tazi kind of folds one arm over his chest and the other hand goes to the side of his head and he just kind of looks down, shaking his head at the floor.
The camera fades, and we're going to cut back over to Corell for a minute. Your comm goes off, your personal comm, and it's the Jedi Temple.
Yes, this is Corell.
Your presence has been requested for a meeting with Master Thal in conference room 104.
Right now?
Yes.
On my way.
Thank you.
And Corell hangs up, leaves engineering.
Tazi, I've got to go to the temple. I'll be back.
And just heads off the ship.
The camera follows Corell as you go into the Jedi Temple, and you go into one of the conference rooms. It's your standard Jedi conference room, and mm-hmm. they sit you down, and you're there for a few minutes, and Master Thal comes in. Thank you for meeting me. I do need to be debriefed on your last few missions.
Yes, sir. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with everything you know about the mask and its recovery. Then we fade out as Corell and Master Thal are having a conversation about the mask. Camera cuts over and we see Tazi is now standing outside the ship talking with TC-27.
Look, how can... I don't understand how we've incurred so many expenses when we were getting paid to do this. Like, I don't... Like, I understand how profit and loss works. I mean, I get that. I am an entrepreneur of sorts. But, I mean, I feel like you're really short-crediting me here.
Well, if we could just improve the efficiency of your ship. First, remove the carbon scoring from this area will help with drag as you leave and enter atmosphere.
You know how much that costs?
He literally stops, turns, and looks at the temple. And then starts walking towards the temple.
TC, I was talking. You don't just get to walk away. TC, hey, TC!
I have been reassigned, Captain. If you'd like to discuss it, you must walk with me. I am able to walk and talk, therefore increasing my efficiency.
As TC continues to walk back toward the temple, Tazi like kind of puts his hand up to his mouth and says, "Good luck!" And turns around and goes back into the ship.
Okay. It's quiet in the ship. The only sound you can hear is coming from A1's area.
Tazi revels in the quiet for a minute, standing in the foyer, and then moves over to A1's workshop area. He kind of knocks on the door frame. "Hey, buddy, what you up to?"
He looks up, and you see D4 is laying on a table, and A1's got his actual head open, and he's got a couple arms in there. Hi. What are you doing?
Am I interrupting something? What's a...
Just routine maintenance. It's kind of like a checkup that he would do for you.
I'm asking this just to say it. I've asked it. You had his permission to do this, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
No, I'm just making sure. That's, you know, again, just, you know, making sure that there's consent for you to be rooting around in his head.
Yes.
Okay, good. What are you up to? You said it's routine maintenance?
Yeah.
So, like, what's involved?
Just going through and making sure that things working right. How are you?
I'm fine. TC just left, so I'm actually in a really great mood. He got reassigned.
Does that mean we're done?
I'm going to take it that way until the Jedi Temple sends another droid to interfere with our daily lives.
Well, I mean, they've only sent one.
I'm assuming they'll send another, because, I mean, this money, the credits, seemed kind of important to them. You know, even though, again, we took all the risk and did all the real work, you know, the money part of it seems like it's really important to the Jedi. So I'm assuming they'll send another accountant droid or something else to make our lives miserable. But, you know, until then, I'm feeling pretty good.
I mean, to be fair, we kind of brought one to them and now she's just with us.
Okay, well, I mean, sure, if you know, from that point of view... From your point of view, then maybe that's how it happened. But you know, we could split hairs on this all day. But neither one of us have hair, so let's talk about what you're doing.
Just making sure that everything's in tip-top shape. How has your day been going?
I feel like we did this already. So, why are you asking me how my day's going again?
Just thinking about you. You don't have a drink. Would you like one?
I'm fine, A1. What's going on?
He rolls over, and on his way, he picks up a couple of spanners. I have to play something for you.
Play something for me? What do you...
And he hands you a spanner. Just, you'll know what to do with that when you need to.
Well, I mean, am I fixing something or am I playing... You know I can't fix anything. I'm not very good at this. This is not really my forte.
This really isn't mine either, but here goes.
All right.
A1 projects a video up.
It's Isla. She is dressed the same way that you saw her last, but she looks different. She looks sadder and she looks older. Not in a, you know, not in a negative way, but just in a haggard way. Her giant eyes are full of tears.
Hey, Taz. So, I remembered. That's the short version. And it is so much worse than I thought. I thought at least I was trying to be a good person, so at some point there was something good in who I was, but there wasn't. It's kind of weird thinking you were one person and then discovering you were very much another. Look, you and I both know I wasn't the one, or I'm not the one, who can share your vision of a future. I know you want kids. I know you want, you know, a big fleet with your redeemed family name, and I just can't. There's just too much that's happened. There's just too much for me to make up for. Anyway, I do love you, Tazi. And I'm making a choice. This is a really difficult choice, but it's also really important. This war that started is much longer and much more dangerous than we knew. It has long roots, Tazi, and there are just some items that we have to make sure don't fall into the wrong hands, and that means that the right hands can't have them either. Nisinda and I are strangely well equipped for this. She has walked a path of the light, and I have walked the path of the dark. We can balance each other. So this means I'm leaving, and I'm sorry I couldn't tell you in person. This is not the way I wanted to do this. I mean, I kind of felt at some point one of us would have to, but take care of Lizzie, or at least drop her off at a lizard monkey sanctuary. Take care of Corel. Take care of A1. Take care of D4. But Tazi, take care of yourself. Please. You have changed me. You are the first person in my entire life who cared about me. And not in the romantic way, although that too. The best thing that ever happened to me was getting hit by a spaceship. Because the best thing that ever happened was you caring that I got hit by a spaceship. No one ever cared before. No one cared about Isla, and nobody cared about the person I was. Maybe one day, all of this will be over. The galaxy will go back to normal, and you'll be in a bar one day, and you'll see an older Duros woman punching out a dude with fake hair who's hitting on her. And we'll look across the bar, and we'll smile. We'll sit down, and we'll have a drink, and we'll talk about everything. But until then, I guess all I can say is goodbye, Tazi. Thank you.
The video abruptly cuts out.
The camera cuts to a shot of the floor at Tazi's feet. And the only thing that the camera really sees are a couple of drops of liquid hitting the floor. And then just after the drops, the spanner hits the floor. And the camera just sees the feet turn and walk out of the room.
We cut over and we watch Master Thal as he's walking down a hallway, and he walks back into the conference room where Corel was talking to him. I do apologize for leaving during your report. I had a situation I had to deal with.
No problem, sir. I was pretty much, we were pretty much returning from Lamoret at that point. So and the story is pretty much wrapped up at that point. We returned Castian to the temple. He, again, did not take any of this well, and I do not believe he thinks his parents are dead. But he's back at the temple as requested. So I think we are ready for a new assignment. Maybe a day or two of downtime if possible, but if you tell me where you need me to go.
Your previous debt has been fulfilled.
Oh, well, that's wonderful news. I'm sure Tazi will be quite glad.
You can feel free to go back to your ship. You will have a few days off, and we will discuss how things have played out.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. Thank you, sir. And Krell stands up and bows. May the force be with you, master.
Just as you step out of the room, he says, you have done well.
Thank you, sir.
You should feel accomplished and pleased.
Yes, this is wonderful news. Thank you, sir.
And please let your droid know that I enjoyed our chess match.
Oh, I will do so. Thank you.
May the force be with you.
And Krell heads down the corridor. She's actually, there's a little bit of a spring in her step, even though she's been in there for hours. There's some good news in her life. And that we cut over to walking back onto the ship. Tazi, where are you? I have some great news. Tazi?
Silence. Your voice rings through the halls.
Krell heads up to the bridge.
So you step into the cockpit, and there's A1, and he turns around. I'm just checking some things out.
Okay, where's Tazi? Our debt is paid off. We're completely free and clear, and we got a couple days off.
Fantastic.
He's going to be so happy. Where'd he go?
Have a seat.
Okay. And Krell looks at the pilot's chair, shakes her head, kind of just shakes herself a little bit because she knows Tazi. Looks at the co-pilot or the first mate seat, and then just sits on the floor. What's up?
A1 rolls over, and he picks up a spanner he found that was sitting up there. And he hands.
Why
it to
is
you.
There a spanner here? This is from my toolkit.
I brought it up here. You're going to need it.
Well, what's wrong? What's broken?
I have a message for you.
Okay.
And he plays the message.
Krell, I feel your disappointment in me as cold tendrils slipping around my spine. There is a part of me that wishes I could still be who you remember, but too much time has been lost for that. Our meeting was by design, and not one I had planned nor intended. We both had our missions. I just hope you believe that they were for the same side. Please remember, you will always be my sweet Kibo flower.
A1?
Yeah?
What does this mean? And what does it have to do with the spanner?
Nacinda is going on a different mission.
Okay.
And will probably never be back.
Oh. Okay. Is that it?
You could, yes. If you want to throw that, please throw it.
No, why would I throw it? This is an expensive tool. Krell gets up. I'm just going to go put this back in engineering.
A1 puts his hand on your arm.
Okay, we've talked about this, you know.
If you need to talk, I mean, she's never coming back.
Is she dead?
No.
Well, I'm pretty sure I would have known that.
The details are becoming very fuzzy for me, but she's doing what she thinks is right.
Whoa, whoa. Nothing ever becomes fuzzy for you unless you fuzzed it yourself.
I can't remember much of the details because I wrote a program that as soon as I started to play this message, the last few hours are becoming me working in the workshop.
Why would you do that?
I wish I could tell you, but the program has changed all of that.
Okay, when was your last backup?
It would have been before we landed.
Okay, well, maybe you should look at that backup and see if you can recover some of this. Because it seems a little odd. Because, honestly, I have more questions than answers right now. And only one of them is, who left this spanner here?
I brought it up here.
Okay, well, thank you. That's one question answered. We've got, like, 18 more to go.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
You just said you don't remember anything.
All I can remember is she's doing what she thinks is right. And she knows that that may not be what you want.
Okay.
And Isla's with her.
Wait a minute. So they left. They're not coming back.
Yes.
Does Tazi know this?
Yes.
Where is Tazi right now?
And there is a slide cut to the back of what appears to be an extremely dingy speeder. Heading deep into the lower levels of Coruscant. And in the back of the speeder, Tazi's just looking out the window. And every few minutes, he lifts a flask to his mouth and puts the flask back down. The camera jumps to the outside of the speeder, and then you see the speeder move off further into the depths of these, like, neon-lit dark streets.
cuts back to the cockpit. Looks like he's heading down lower levels.
All right, keep tracking him and feed it over to my comm. So I'm going to go find out where he is. Kark only knows what he's going to do if Isla just bailed on him.
He's supposed to throw a spanner and be mad.
That's not how he deals with things. Let me go. I'll go find him. Just update me when he stops moving.
Okay.
And Corell runs to the back, gets the ship's speeder, and offloads it, heads off on pursuit of Tazi.
So we see Corell leave on the speeder, heading to catch up to Tazi, and the camera cuts over to what Tazi's doing. Where does Tazi end up?
Corell's speeder continues through the maze of lower levels, and just when you think you can't go deeper, there's another level. The air is getting hazy. It's getting difficult to see. You see like a glow of signs, the glow of unfamiliar languages. There is a lot down here that Corell's never seen before. Most people haven't seen. And your tracker stops outside of a fairly well-lit but dingy building. And as you exit the speeder, sitting on the ground outside the building, is Tazi with his kind of hands around his knees, his collar of his flight suit's pulled up, and he appears to not know you're there.
Kind of seeing Tazi there, Corell takes a deep breath and just walks over next to him, stands there for a second, and then slowly sinks to the ground till she's sitting next to him. Hey.
Hey.
So, what you doing down here?
Well, I came down here to get a drink, and I came here to,
he kind of lifts a hand up and points at the door to the building, and on the door is clearly marked the sigil of the Bounty Hunters Guild.
I came down here because I was gonna have a bounty hunter finder, and look, I was gonna pay a guy to find her, somebody, but she doesn't want to be here, and I don't want her to be here if she doesn't want to be with us, with me, if she can't do it, it's not right, it's not fair, but I don't know what to do, Corell. I don't know what to do.
Corell puts an arm around Tazi's shoulders, kind of sitting up on her haunches a little bit.
And he's sobbing. He is sobbing into his knees.
I don't know what happened, Tazi, but they're both gone. I don't understand it. And I don't get it at all. It's just all of a sudden, this happened. Maybe we just weren't what they needed. I thought that there was problems, but I mean, especially you and Isla, I thought we're just perfect together. It's just.
And at that, he like sobs harder into his knees. He, you know, hearing that, it intensifies his grief.
Oh, Kark, Tazi, I'm not saying this right, but you know what? I'm still here if you need me. It's just, I've got your back always, you know that. I know it's no substitute. I mean, you loved her, didn't you?
I love her. I didn't used to love her. I love her.
I'm sorry. Well, and I, yeah, it does, sometimes I guess loving people just isn't enough.
And he continues kind of sobbing, and he leans his head over toward you and kind of puts one hand on your arm. After his sobs slow down, he looks up and, I'm sorry about Nacinda. I'm sorry Isla took her from you.
And Corell's, she isn't crying, but she's almost just staring at nothing in the distance. Her eyes are just that 1,000-yard stare of somebody who's not paying attention visually to what's going on.
I don't think Isla took her. I assume they went together to do something. I don't know. Maybe they just... they really wanted to do bounty hunting. But whatever it is, I wasn't enough. We weren't enough.
Tazi's right hand passes the flask over to Karel.
No, thank you anyway. I just... anyone told me you got a message from Isla? I got a vague message from Nacinda, and they're just gone.
Yep. Yep, they're gone.
Hey, Tazi?
Yeah.
What's wrong with us? I mean, Kao did this to us too.
I mean, I don't know, Karel. I don't know. Maybe nothing's wrong with us. Maybe there are just more important things than us. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. Well, you know, we still got each other. And we got A1. And D4.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Oh, and hey, guess what?
Hmm.
We got rid of TC-27.
I know, he said he got reassigned.
Our debt's been paid.
Yep.
And I was actually hoping for a little more... I was a lot happier than that when I heard about it, but then again, I didn't, you know, have this, and you hadn't had your heart pulled out and stomped on.
It's true. Nope, definitely just happened.
And he gets back into, like, a fit of sobbing again.
Karel just quietly rubs your back and just is sitting there, but her expression hasn't changed. It's just this vague, neutral, thousand-yard stare. After a few minutes, she clears her throat.
Hey, is your butt cold?
I can't really feel anything right now.
Well, how about we go find someplace less dingy and possibly deadly to go talk about this some more?
I don't really want to talk about it right now. Why don't you go back to the ship, and I'll be down here for a little bit, and I'll come back. I'll catch a speeder back.
I'll wait for you.
I don't.
Tazi, I need you right now to be where I am, because...
she says this next part, obviously not good at lying.
I really need your support right now.
Okay. If that's what you need, that's fine. We'll go back to the ship.
We can go anywhere else. Just, it's kind of yucky down here.
Yucky fits right now.
Then this is where we'll sit.
Tazi stands up and kind of brushes off his suit a bit.
Come on, let's at least go across the street. There's a bar over there. It's just called Noodles. It's just Noodles.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go have a noodle.
They don't serve noodles. There's a...
That's a clever name?
No, it's, yeah.
It's like puzzles.
The guy that owns the place, that's his name, is Noodles. But they have cheap drinks, and no one asks questions.
Yeah. Let's go.
And Karel reaches up a hand to have you pull her up.
And Tazi pulls Karel up, and he kind of wobbles a bit as he's probably not the best for walking right now, but...
she slips under his arm to support him.
They walk kind of into this cloud of haze toward a dimly lit neon sign that says Noodles.
The camera fades and we come back to the ship a day or two later. And you guys are on the outside working on it, getting it ready for whatever your next adventure is going to be.
Tazi's banging on something with a spanner, clearly not using it properly. And it looks like he started hitting it, whatever he's hitting, to try and, like, put it into place. But it continues to, like, get harder and more violent. And he's holding, like, the side of his head, and he's just hitting. And it just ends up him beating a spanner against the side of the ship. Clearly doing nothing productive.
The camera pulls back a little bit and shows up on the top of the ship where A1 and Karel are. And Karel kind of looks over the edge and then leans back towards A1.
That is the, like, training spanner that we bought him, right? Not mine?
Yes.
Okay, good. Can you... Okay, why are we suddenly doing taking this carving and scoring off of here?
It was Tazi's idea. I don't know.
All we need to do is slap some paint over it, and nobody will notice.
I think it just gives him something to think about.
All right, can you go get the paint can, and we'll touch it up?
Sure.
Okay, I'll go see if I can... He's going to break that in a minute, and he'll need the other one. So,
as you say that, you hear this sound of like... Ting! And a piece of metal skittering across the deck.
There he goes.
And then a second later, you hear another piece of metal skitter across the deck. And you see Tazi going over to what appears to be, like, your tool set.
I gotta go. Kirill slides off the side of the ship, force jumping down. Tazi, here's another spanner.
What?
And this one's got a bright orange head. Hey, Tazi, use this one.
I told you I'm not using that my first spanner thing.
Tazi, you're not touching my spanners. They cost a lot of credits.
How about I do something else?
Okay. Something else is good. Like what?
I'm sure I'll go up on the ship. I'll do some cleaning. How about that? I'll go and clean the ship. I can go to the kitchen. I can undo all the stuff that TC did, put everything back where it's supposed to be.
Actually, that's fine. It's actually pretty well organized right now. However, you could go clean the cockpit.
Sure, I'll go clean the cockpit. Yeah, I'll go do that.
There's still a lot of crumbs underneath your chair and everything.
Are you trying to say I'm messy?
No, I'm saying that A1
is that
what
she left? Is it because I didn't clean good enough? Is that why? Because I can't. I'll clean better. I'm going to go clean right now. And Tazi, like, just turns and rushes up the gangplank into the ship.
Big watch as A1 looks at Kirill. Then he...
Don't say anything. Mm-hmm. Don't say anything. I know better.
He flies down and then rolls in and follows Tazi. It has nothing to do with how you clean. She left to do something important. It's to save us.
Tazi doesn't respond or look at A1. He walks into the kitchen, starts pulling stuff out of cabinets, and then stops in the middle of what he's doing, and you see him go down the hallway to Isla's former quarters.
A1's following him.
He goes into the quarters, and he looks around, and he just starts tearing the place apart. Sheets, like anything that he thinks would be a reminder of her, anything that smells like her. He's trying to remove the traces of her from the room.
As Tazi's doing that, A1 slides in, grabs the cage with Lizzie, rolls out with Lizzie.
Kirill is walking back onto the ship at this point.
What is that doing here?
Going with you to find a new home.
Okay, I need to go... What's that? What's going on in there?
Maybe you should give it to that Castian kid. He looked like he could use...
Why don't something. You... You can give it to him. He's in the temple. Don't throw it off the carking platform for all I care.
At that, you see Tazi kind of pop out of the doorway, and in his hands, he's holding what appears to be a really fancy gown. And he's clearly been crying. And the gown in his hands is like kind of transitioning colors, and it looks almost like it's transitioning against the colors of his suit, like it's changing based on what is around it.
No... Don't get rid of Lizzie. A1, can you keep her in your workshop for a little while? Feed her. Please, don't get rid of her.
Sure. I'll ask D4 to do a full checkup and make sure she's taken care of.
Isla asked me to take care of her, and I have to.
A1 heads back towards his workshop.
Okay, Tazi, you hate that thing.
But she loved it, and it's only right that I take care of it.
Tazi, she loved you too, and she discarded you, and she... Okay, you know what? I'm so sorry. That was unfair.
Those words hit Tazi like a wave crashing against the shore. He kind of slams back against the door frame for the room and like slides down.
Tazi, I'm sorry. I'm obviously projecting my own cark onto you. That was very uncalled for. Tazi, I'm sorry. I just... Whatever. The monkey lizard can stay, or... Whatever. You have the right idea, though. And Carl's got her eyes closed, so she didn't even see you land on the floor. I should go clear Nacinda's stuff out. I'm sorry. And she just runs down the hall, and her door shuts.
And Tazi's sitting on the floor, sobbing into the dress.
A minute later, A1 rolls back out. He just rolls up to Tazi. So, I don't really know how to deal with this. So, what do you need?
I don't know. I don't know, little bunny. I really don't know. This is new. This is new.
A1 just slowly leans forward till his dome is gently touching Tazi's forehead. And he says, I asked D4 and there's nothing he can do to help the pain. He just said to be here.
Tazi's right hand comes up with the dress still gripped in it, and he kind of just places that hand against the back of your dome.
Thank you, A1. Thanks, buddy. Thank you.
A1 just says to Tazi, how about we promise that we stay together? No matter what.
Always. Always, A1. Regardless of whatever happens, it'll be you and me.
At this point, from down the hall, you hear the sound of a lightsaber igniting.
I picture A1 and Tazi, forehead to dome, slowly turn together and look down the hallway.
As they approach the door, Tazi leans in to knock, and then his hand goes kind of for the latch, and he slides the door open.
Corell?
Corell's standing on the other side of her bed. Her lightsaber's back on her hip, but obviously she attacked her bed. And you can see that there are a bunch of little origami Kiba flowers currently in many pieces, and some of them burning on the bed linens and scattered all over the floor. And she's currently trying to gather up pieces of the bed covers and the bed itself to kind of create a bundle to remove from the room.
Oh, hi. A1, can you go get me that one crate we had empty? I need something to dump all this cark in.
Sure.
Thanks. Tazi, can you grab the broom from the sand unit? I need to sweep some of this ash up.
Yep.
Thanks.
Can do.
As they walk down the hall, I think Tazi looks down at A1.
A1 looks at, what else are we going to break today?
Just go with it.
Okay.
Just go with it.
All right. And Tazi and A1 both kind of split at the hallway to go grab their individual things for Corell.
And then we can fade from there.
Right. I think there's a montage of Tazi and Corell removing items from the ship that remind them of Nisinda and Isla, and A1 confusingly helping them pack up stuff.
So the camera sits on A1, who's kind of like sitting in the kitchen, and his view is pointed toward the snuggle pod, and from the opening of the snuggle pod, you continue to see stuffed animals come out one by one, flying into the kitchen area, like kind of littering the floor, and they start coming out faster and faster.
A1's trying to catch him as they're coming out and trying to put him into a crate, but he can't keep up.
A few minutes later, the barrage of stuffed animals kind of slows down, and then Tazi walks out of the entry to the snuggle pod, and he's holding one in his hand, and he looks kind of torn, and he takes that one stuffed animal. It's a very small, it's palm-sized. A1 cannot see what it is from his vantage point, and he kind of takes that one and tucks it into his flight suit. And he zips it up a little bit.
Hey, I need these off the ship.
Will do. A1's taking the crate. He's heading out.
And as A1's collecting that stuff, Tazi's in the supply closet in the kitchen, and it looks like he's getting out a bunch of, like, kind of cleaning supplies, deep cleaning supplies.
As A1 brings the crate of stuffed animals off the ship, Corell is walking up, and she's carrying a large... It looks like it's two large crates. One is obviously a mattress, and the other one looks maybe it's a bed frame or something, and it's kind of floating along behind her. She's using the force. Hey, A1, and she just walks right onto the ship.
Okay, A1's hauling this tote of stuffed animals. Corell's walking on with a bed, and Corell, you hear a voice kind of steps out from around one of the landing struts. And a Chadra fan, you hear the voice come from him.
Interesting. I would not expect to see stuffed animals and mattresses on the Crowlet's Fang.
Well, we have to sleep somewhere, and people have hobbies. Who are you?
Most refer to me as Mr. Johnson.
Okay, so what do I call you then?
Mr. Johnson.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, what do you want?
To send you on a mission.
I guess you'll have to talk to the Jedi Council about that. That's who we go on missions for.
My understanding is this ship is for hire, is it not? Yes?
Tazi!
Tazi's deep in the confines of the former snuggle pod cleaning, so...
Just a minute, let me go get the captain.
Carl goes out of the ship, drops her stuff on at the top of the loading ramp, and heads to the bridge. Doesn't find Tazi there. Thinks about the stuffed animals and head towards the snuggle pod.
As you approach the snuggle pod, you can clearly hear a stream of Durosian expletives.
Hey, Tazi?
Yeah, Carell.
There's a Chandra fan outside named Mr. Johnson, and he's looking to hire the ship. Do you want to talk to him?
What was that name again?
Mr. Johnson?
What does Mr. Johnson want?
He wants to hire the ship.
Is that really?
And no, I think it's Mr. Johnson.
Well, I mean, I can't do it.
It's up and then down. It's an accent.
The best this person's going to get is a Mr. Johnson.
It's probably close enough.
Okay. I mean, they want to hire us. Did they say why?
I don't know. He looks kind of shady.
Tazi,
shady is your department.
Tazi hands you a bottle of cleaning solution, and then like there's some kind of like the sponge looks disgusting.
And Carl takes it with like the tips of two fingers.
Yeah, take that, and he like pulls off these rubber gloves, snaps, you know.
I'll put these on the counter over here. I'll talk to the Chandra fan.
Okay, he's down by the front landing.
All right, if you could.
I gotta put some stuff away, but we'll get it cleaned.
Okay. Thanks.
And he kind of goes out of the kitchen, over to the ramp, where he stubs his toe on the bed frame, and you hear another Durosian expletive from the top of the ramp.
Sorry, you gotta look out for that. I'll put it in my room in a minute.
Got it. Surf frame. Okay. Hello, as he's coming down the ramp. Mr. Johnson.
A1 standing there, crate full of stuffed animals, and there's a Chandra fan in a blue little suit standing there, arms behind his back.
A1, just dump those off the side of the ramp. You just push them right off the side of the building. You don't have to.
That's all right. I'm going to give them to an orphanage. It'll be okay. I'll take care of it.
No, don't give those to children.
Maybe we should talk about this later. And he's looking at the Chandra fan, who's standing there with his arms behind his back, just tapping on his left foot.
Yeah, yes. My chief engineer and first mate told me that you have a job for us.
Yes. Simple plan. Take briefcase and associates. Deliver to Dressel.
Dressel?
Yes, planet.
No. I mean, I know it's a planet. What kind of time frame are we talking? How many associates?
Two. And now.
Can I ask what's in the briefcase? Is it something that if I get stopped by, say, you know, the Republic or by someone else, they'd be interested in what's inside the briefcase?
No, they should not. Unless you have something they should not be aware of.
No, we're fine. No, we're fine. Everybody here is fine. We're fine. What are we talking for rates? What are you offering?
25,000. That is your standard rate, correct?
Tazi's eyes go wide for just a second.
Yes, that's the standard rate for two passengers and a suitcase. Yep, briefcase, attaché case. Any kind of two passengers and a case is 25,000 credits. Yep, that sounds about right.
Excellent.
We we typically do 15 up front and 10 on delivery.
Oh, yes.
Unless you'd like to pay the full 25 up front, that's also, you know, that's amenable for us as well.
Technically, have to give you 27,500. You forgot to collect from last time.
Last time?
Yes. You drop crate, we catch. You know, the other half of payment.
You're the. Oh, okay. I didn't know that Mr. Johnson was the part of that deal, too. No, that's fine. And yes, we would certainly happily take the rest of our payment that we should have collected earlier. Unfortunately, we had kind of a malfunctioning accounting droid taking care of a lot of that, and that droid is no longer with us. So, yes, we should definitely collect the rest of that money.
Excellent.
And he turns around and waves his hand. And you see a Bothan walk up, and then a Zeltron. Andy, what does the Bothan look like?
So the Bothan is short. They are 5'1" and a half, which is 1.56 meters.
Okay.
She has copper-colored fur with gold highlights, but has either natural or dyed red hair and streaks of silver that kind of show that she's not the, you know, she's not a super young Both, and she's been around a bit.
All right. And
she's wearing a smuggler's vest.
Awesome. And next to her is a Zeltron. May, what does the Zeltron look like?
The Zeltron is slightly taller than her Bothan friend. She has a kind of a hibiscus red toned skin and a dark indigo blue mid-back length hair. She has a tight form-fitting pants on and some kind of a halter top underneath a long jacket, flowing jacket.
The Bothan is pretty openly carrying a heavy blaster pistol in a holster on their belt.
Okay. Who's carrying the briefcase?
Oh, I am.
Okay.
The Bothan.
All right. So two passengers and there is the proclaimed briefcase. So your names, please, for the passenger log.
Tazi looks down at both of them, just like kind of impatiently.
Oh, names? You wanted my name? My name's Zahn.
Zahn, okay.
Pokes out her hand.
Yes. Shaking, yes. And Tazi takes Zahn's hand.
She shakes it vigorously. Nice to meet you.
Yes, nice to meet you too.
We're gonna be good friends.
Sure.
I like your ship.
I also like my ship. You have a lot of energy.
You're just saying that.
You seem very, very energetic. That's good. And you?
I am Ninquinth Valed.
Do you spell that?
No.
Okay. Do you prefer Nin? Do you prefer Quinth?
Quinth.
Quinth?
Isn't it a wonderful name?
You prefer Quinth. Okay. Quinth.
Little Quinty.
Quinty?
No. You can call me Quinth.
Quinth. Okay. Zin and Quinth.
Zahn.
Zahn and Quinth. All right.
Zahn has her own nicknames. I do not go by Quinty. I go by Quinth.
But do you answer to Quinty?
It's an adorable nickname.
So if Zahn calls you Quinty, do you answer?
If Zahn calls me Quinty, yes, I answer.
So Quinty's good. Okay. So Zahn and Quinty.
No, you can call me Quint.
I'm sure we've got quarters are being prepared for you right now. And then Tazi kind of turns over his shoulder and pulls up his comm. A1, can you get the Isla's former quarters ready for a couple of passengers, please?
From next to you, you hear.
Yeah.
Are we kicking somebody off your ship?
No, they kicked themselves off the ship. It just so happens we have some space now. Here, right this way.
Mm.
And Tazi kind of puts his arm up the ramp and kind of looks to A1 to lead them up toward their quarters.
Okay.
This is so exciting, Quinty.
As we walk up the ramp, Quinn is looking at the hydraulics and kind of puts one finger along, you know, part of it and looks at it and it's dirty. And she just rubs her fingers together and just goes,
A1 leads them up into the ship. And Mr. Johnson looks at Tazi. You deliver case to a Weequay. Andressel. His name, Cide Amor.
Cide Amor. Okay. Cide Amor.
Yes.
Cide Amor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cide Amor. Got it. All right. Deliver the case to Cide Amor Andressel.
Yes.
All right. All that we need to know is now is get that payment going. So, if you could.
Very well.
Credits. I'd say cash is great. We can do a transfer too. Either way.
Oh, he reaches down and hands you the credits.
Oh yes. Good cash. Cash is good.
Yes. We will be friends. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Sure, Mr. Johnson. Yep. That's Yep. Wait, is it? It's Mr. Johnson, yes?
Yes.
You may just call me Mr. Johnson. Yes, yes.
That's what I was saying. Mr. Johnson.
Close enough.
Okay. Your two passengers will be taken care of in utmost care and respect. You know, they'll certainly be fed. They'll have a place to sleep. We do have some limited entertainment available on the ship for travel. There's some games they could play. There's stuff for them to do, so they shouldn't be bored. And we'll make sure they get there safe.
Yes, yes. They are good at entertaining themselves. You shall have fun.
Fun. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, we'll have fun. Well, if you miss, wait, Mr. Johnson, if you don't mind, we'll prepare for takeoff.
Very well. Good. Yes. He reaches out a hand to shake your hand.
Tazi takes the Chowder fan's hand again.
Not nearly as impressive of a grip as Zahn.
Again, good to meet you and pleasure doing business.
Yes. New friends, yes.
You picked the right ship, the Krautsvang. Krautsvang is the way to go.
Agreed.
All right, then.
And he turns and he walks away.
And then Tazi turns, like pockets the credits as he's heading back up the ramp and hits the button and the ramp starts to lift.
This is Kaylee and welcome to Season 6. I'm sorry it's taken us so long to get going, but in the new world of 2020, things have been a little crazy and a little hectic, but we've been working real hard on coming up with a good storyline on Season 6, and now you've listened to the first episode, and I hope you'll stick with us. We'll be resuming our normal every other week publishing schedule with a short break around Christmas time. We also want to welcome Tracy Gibbons, best known as playing Keela on The Broadswords. She's doing our opening intro now, and we're really excited to have her as part of the show. Also, special thanks go out to May from our cast. She's been working our social media like crazy during the hiatus, and she's updated our Patreon just recently. You're going to see some new character art coming with the next episode, and Patreons get sneak peeks a week or two beforehand, so stick around and check that out. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy Season 6. As we go into Season 6, I want to give a quick shout-out to all of our spectacular Patreons. Some of you have been with us since the very beginning, some of you have just found our show, but we appreciate every single one of you. I apologize if I get your names wrong here, but I just wanted to call out our Patreons for the awesome people they are. Vicky Berlew, Brendan Coleman, Justin Coster. Justin, you already know you're amazing. You shouldn't need this kind of validation. Sheriff Jetsarian, Richard Kreutzlandry, the master of the deep. Nathan Bailey, Jameis McInerney, Brett Moore, Bob Hopp, our friends at the Fandible podcast, our friends at Force Majeure podcast, a mysterious person called Henderson, Ariel Weiss, Sarah Chavez, Christopher Tate, Jay Worley, Jen Gagne, yes, we need to get together and have another game, Adrian Bundy, Mark Allen, Ryan Bolter, Michael Ivey, David Perrin, Josh Wilson, Alice Kyra, Alice, I still want to play a Magical Girl game with you, we'll make that happen someday, Kevin Brown, Hannah Stevens, Daniel Greer, Eric Hees, JJ Ellis, Steve Cole, Damian Roll, Rob McCready, Tristan Harder, Kyle Maxwell, and Lenny Anderson. You guys mean the world to us, and you guys really help us keep going. Thank you so very much.
Hey, it's A1. Just wanted you guys to know that Redemption is played using the Star Wars role-playing system by Fantasy Flight Games and Lucas Books. Anybody ever wants to get a hold of us, the ship's comm code is at Redemption Pod. Plus, don't tell anybody, but I put a HoloNet page up for us. It's redemptionpodcast.com. And if you can, get on your datapad there and like us on iTunes, Google Play, maybe Stitcher, or whatever other podcatcher you use. It'd be nice if other people could listen to us. And if you ever want to support us and maybe throw us some credits, you could visit patreon.com/redemption. I promise I'll use your credits wisely, and won't go gambling. Really, I won't. Don't look at me that way.
A1, who are you talking to?
Goodbye. See you next time.